starting from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter, 87? The Prayers of the Personified Vedas, text number 46. Sri Narada Vacha, Namastasmai Bhagavate, Krishnaya Malakirtaye, Yo Dhatte Sarvabhutanam, Abhavayo Sati Kalaha. Sri Narada Uvacha, Namastasmai Bhagavate, Krishnaya Malakirtaye, Yo Dhatte Sarvabhutanam, Abhavayo Sati Kalaha. Sri Narada Uvacha, Namastasmai Bhagavate, Krishnaya Malakirtaye, Yo Dhatte Sarvabhutanam, Abhavayo Sati Kalaha. Sri Narada Vacha, Namastasmai Bhagavate, Krishnaya Malakirtaye, Yo Dhatte Sarvabhutanam, Abhavayo Sati Kalaha. Sri Narada Vacha, Namastasmai Bhagavate, Krishnaya Malakirtaye, Yo Dhatte Sarvabhutanam, Abhavayo Sati Kalaha. Sri Narada Uvacha, Sri Narada said, Namaha, obeisances, tasmai, to him, Bhagavate, the Supreme Lord, Krishnaya, Krishna, Amala, spotless, Kirtaye, whose glories, Yaha, who, Dhatte, manifests, Sarva, of all, Bhutanam, living beings, Abhavaya, for the liberation, Ushatihi, all attractive, Kalaha, expansions. Sri Narada said, I offer my obeisances to him of spotless fame, the Supreme Lord Krishna, who manifests his all-attractive personal expansions so that all living beings can achieve liberation. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami remarks that Narada's addressing Sri Narayan Rishi as an incarnation of Lord Krishna is perfectly appropriate. In accordance with the following statement of Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, Text 28, Eteid kapcham sa kala pumsa, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. All of the above mentioned incarnations, including Narayan Rishi, are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord, but Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. In his commentary on this verse, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti has Lord Narayan Rishi asking, why do you offer obeisances to Krishna instead of me, your guru, who am standing here before you? Narada explains his action by saying that Lord Krishna assumes all attractive incarnations like Sri Narayan Rishi to end the conditioned soul's material life. By offering obeisances to Lord Krishna, therefore, Narada honours Narayan Rishi and all other manifestations of Godhead as well, including himself. Because Narada Muni is also a Shakti Avesh avatar. interestingly enough. This prayer of Narada's is the essential nectar he has extracted from the personified Vedas' prayers, which themselves were churned from the sweet ocean of all secrets of the Vedas and Puranas. As the Gopal Tapani Upanishad Purva 50 recommends, Tasmat Krishna Eva Paro Devas Tam Jayet Jayet Tam Rasayet Tam Bhajet Tam Yajet Iti Om Tat Sat. Therefore, Krishna is the Supreme Godhead. One should meditate on Him, relish the taste of reciprocating loving exchanges with Him, worship Him, and offer sacrifice to Him. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaheyam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langkayate Ganim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. Ete Champsa Kala Pumsa Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is distinguished from the other incarnations. Why? Because he is the source of all manifestations. Aham savasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samambitaha. We've just been studying in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is the source of everything. So naturally, he should be the source of all of the incarnations. So in offering obeisances to Krishna, he is honoring everyone and everything, practically speaking, with that understanding that Krishna is the source of everything. So he's the source of all of the different incarnations of the Lord. Ete champsa kala pumsa, all of the different, in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, in the third chapter or the first canto, there's a long line of incarnations, plenary expansions, fully empowered plenary expansions, partially empowered plenary expansions, partial expansions with various powers, living entities empowered by the Lord. So this way the Lord manifests his character or his personality in numerous ways, in a variety of ways, all for the purpose of attracting the living entity back to the spiritual realm, where these characteristics, where this personality is manifest in full. In the purport to 1.3.28, Prabhupada talks about he gives the analogy of the powerhouse and the light bulb, and how each of the light bulbs is endowed with or empowered with that shakti or potency of the Lord. And so the different and various incarnations of the Lord are like different varieties of light bulbs. Right? And so, you know, you have a 20 watt light bulb, a 40 watt light bulb, a 75 watt light bulb, a 1,000 watt light bulb. You know, you have a variety of potencies in each of the light bulbs, representing the potency of the powerhouse, which is as the full component of kilowatts or whatever. So each one of them represents, if you like, each one of the incarnations represents the potency of the original source of all energy. It's like in the Brahma Samhita is described, how each of the different incarnations of the Lord are like candles, all lit from the one original candle. And if we extend that analogy, each of the candles has a different potency, originally received from or taken from or given by the original candle. So we see all of these different characteristics of Krishna manifest in all of the different incarnations. And they're described, in the Bhagavatam especially, they're described, it's distinguished very, very clearly. And of course, and the Bhagavatam, the purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam is to teach us the distinction between Krishna and his different expansions, Krishna and his different incarnations, Krishna and his expansions as the living entities, to identify their differences, their similarities, and the relationship between all of them. So the Bhagavatam explains that all of these different incarnations of the Lord, and there's a long list of them, they're all coming from a part of the original. They're all expansions of Mahavishnu, the original Vishnu, who expands to manifest the whole material creation. But the Bhagavatam goes out of its way to clearly explain iti champsa kala pumsa. The kala means a part. Iti champsa kala pumsa. Where is it? Yeah, kala, portions of the plenary portions. But it goes out of it. The Bhagavatam goes out of its way to explain that when Krishna appears, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam, he appears in his original manifestation. He's not an expansion or a portion, a plenary portion or a partial portion or a partial manifestation, but rather he is Bhagavan Swayam. He is the original Bhagavan who appears in his primary form. So when Krishna comes, you get the full potency of the powerhouse. He manifests all of his potencies in the one incarnation, in the one avatar. This distinguishes Krishna from everybody else. Because not everybody likes to hear this, but that's the way it is. Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, Indrari Vyakalam Lokam, Midayanti Yuge Yuge, and he appears. Yes, Lord Jagannath. A nice point here from the Bhagavatam. Originally, the Lord is full of all opulences, all prowess, all fame, all beauty, all knowledge, and all renunciation. So he has all opulence in full. He has everything in full. If he's the source of everything, then that means he must have everything himself. If he can't be the source of everything and not have what you endow upon others. When the Lord appears in his partial expansions, through his plenary portions or parts of the plenary portions, it should be noted that certain manifestations of his different powers are required for those particular functions. So Prabhupada gives the example. When he appears, say, as Lord Nrisimhadeva, he appears for a particular purpose and he manifests his angry countenance, angry mood. Why? Because his purpose at that time is basically to destroy Hiranyakashipu. Or when he appears as Jamadagna or Parashuram, he manifests the prowess, the potency of killing all the Kshatriyas. 17 times, or how many other times it was, for a particular purpose. But the Bhagavatam explains that just because, Prabhupada explains, just because he only shows a portion of his potencies doesn't mean that he's limited. Right. But rather, he's just manifesting those potencies at that time for a particular purpose. Yet when Krishna appears, the acharyas have analysed the characteristics and the qualities. I said one of the reasons why I was very astounded by Krishna consciousness was because when you read the Nectar of Devotion, for example, then you find that the Rupa Goswami and the other acharyas, the six Goswamis, they've analysed the characteristics of all of the different incarnations, and they've isolated all of the different qualities that a person can have, and they've categorised them, which is quite amazing when you think about it, how scientific. The analysis of personality is very complete in the analysis of the Goswami. So they've analysed the different manifestations of the incarnations and have isolated each of the different features and each of the different qualities, and which incarnation presents which quality for which particular purpose. And then analysing Krishna's pastimes, we see that within Krishna's pastimes, practically speaking, that all of the qualities of Godhead are manifest. So we see his very, very powerful displays of strength, right, in killing the demons, destroying the demons. But we also see in Krishna's pastimes his very, very loving and affectionate dealings with the residents of Vrindavan, especially with the gopis. Very intimate relationship manifest. Of course, the Srimad Bhagavatam very carefully explains all of the characteristics of Krishna gradually through the different stages of the Bhagavatam, through the nine cantos of the Bhagavatam. We are transported through a journey of discovery in being presented with different aspects of Krishna's incarnations. So that when we get to the final canto, the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, then we're able to understand the characteristics of the internal potency and how it is manifesting the Leela, the pastimes of Krishna, in all of its variety. And how it's confirmed then that Krishna is actually the source of all incarnations. Prabhupada mentions the most extraordinary feature exhibited by Lord Krishna was his internal energetic manifestation of his pastimes with the cowherd girls. His pastimes with the gopis are all displays of transcendental existence, bliss and knowledge, although these are manifested apparently as sex love. The specific attraction of his pastimes with the gopis should never be misunderstood. So the very intimate, loving exchanges between Krishna and the gopis are displays of the internal, the antaranga shakti in its highest manifestation. It shouldn't be misunderstood as some mundane material love affair. So Narada Muni is quite right in offering obeisances to Krishna, because Krishna is the source of all incarnations, and basically he's encouraging everybody to meditate on Krishna's pastimes, whether they're the different pastimes of the different incarnations or whether they're on Krishna's pastimes himself. They're all non-different from each other. They're all full of spiritual potency, spiritual shakti. And those who engage in regularly hearing and chanting the pastimes of the Lord become purified as a result of that. Srimatam svakata krishna punya shravana ketana vidyantastoya padrani vidu noti saritsatam. The discussions of Krishna Katha are very appealing for the devotees because they destroy all of the inauspicious things within the heart. They're very dear to the bhaktas. So this is the essence of what Narada Muni has extracted from the instructions imparted by the personified Vedas. And he's saying, I offer my obeisances to him of spotless fame, Amala, Krishna, Krishnaya Amala, Kirtaye. Who manifests his all-attractive personal expansions so that all living beings can achieve liberation. And Narada Muni, it's quite interesting because Narada Muni is also a manifestation of this quality or characteristic of Krishna, especially Narada Muni. Narada Muni is Narada. He likes to give spiritual knowledge. He likes to give spiritual instruction to everybody. For their benefit, the nature of a devotee. A devotee is concerned about his own welfare, but in the process of making spiritual advancement, he demonstrates that advancement by also being concerned about the welfare of others. It's not that a devotee just selfishly thinks, yes, I'm going to be liberated, I don't have to worry about anybody else. Of course, that is an option. But for the for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas and for the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is considered to be more elevated to certainly look after one's own spiritual advancement, but in the process create opportunities for the welfare and benefit of others so that they can make progress. So therefore Narada Muni is making this point here that Lord Krishna should be glorified and praised by everybody because he appears in order to give everybody an opportunity to be liberated. This is the purpose of Krishna's Pirit Paritranaya Sadunam Vinasaya Chatuskritam Dhamasam Stapanataya Sambhavami Yuge Yuge. This is Krishna's purpose, is to protect, to liberate the devotees. In the meantime, he kills a few demons. Although that's not a big issue for him. Not difficult for him. So, Narada Muni is appreciating all of the incarnations. By focusing on Krishna, he's appreciating Krishna and all of the incarnations of the Lord. Krishna is never alone. Krishna is always accompanied by his associates. That's specifically manifest in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where he appears as the Panchatattva, and specifically as the Panchatattva to propagate the Sankirtan. Krishna Vanam Twisha Krishnam Sango Pangasta Pasadam Jagyai Sankitam Praya Yajanti Hisubeda Saha. So in the Kali Yuga, the Lord appears not alone, but with his associates, Sango Pangasta Parashadam, with his expansions, Lord Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, and his energies, Gadadhar and Srivas, for the purpose of propagating the chanting of Hare Krishna, propagating the Sankirtan mission, if you like, spreading the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam, spreading the message of the Bhagavad Gita, demonstrating how to relish the instructions, how to relish the process of devotional service, how to relish the and understand all of these different relationships between Krishna and his creation, Krishna and his expansions, Krishna and his devotees, Krishna and the process of devotional service, so that everybody can develop a taste for these things. Anandam buddhi vardhanam pratipatam punam ritas vardhanam. The complete nectar for which we're always anxious can be relished by the devotees who follow in the footsteps of Narada Muni. You know, Narada Muni has given us the Narada Pancharatra, which is basically the process that we follow in devotional service. The rules and regulations in worshipping the deity. But in the process of worshipping the deity, we also have the Bhagavat Vidhi, which is the hearing and chanting of Hare Krishna, and the study and the recitation of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. So we have the rules and regulations of worshipping the deity, which means punctuality, cleanliness, engaging in the puja. There's purification from doing that, and then there's the sankirtan, if you like, the Bhagavat Vidhi, the chanting of Hare Krishna, the recitation of the Bhagavatam, the recitation of the Bhagavad Gita, understanding the philosophical practices of devotional service. All of these ultimately provided for us by Krishna, so that we can come back to him. Dharma samstapanataya. Krishna comes and gives himself to the devotees, and especially he gives himself to the devotees, he reveals himself to the devotees who engage in a process of devotional service. So Narada Muni is glorifying Krishna. Amala, Krishna Yamala Kirtaye Yodhate Savabhutanam, for the benefit of every living entity. Abhavaya Osita Kalaha. He appears in all of his different expansions for the liberation of all of the living entities. So let us glorify him. Easy. Does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? Jim.
I think yesterday Guru Nanak mentioned that Krishna's expansions have unlimited power.
Unlimited power?
Yeah.
Yes.
And
yep.
Does that mean they have relations to Krishna?
Some do, but they may not manifest it. It's only when Krishna appears that we see the full manifestation of all the power, all the potency.
So how do you know they have unlimited power if it's not manifest?
How do you know? Well, some of them don't, actually. Some of them only are partial expansions, and so they don't demonstrate all of that power. They don't show it. That's why Prabhupada gives the example of the light bulb. But just because the light bulb is only a 400 watt or a 20 watt light bulb, that doesn't mean a powerhouse doesn't have all of the potency. It still does. It's just manifesting a little bit of it through that particular vehicle, if you like, through that manifestation, through that incarnation, through that avatar.
Okay.
He only manifests a little bit of his potency. Even through the living entities, we see the different qualities that Krishna manifest. There's actually a very nice. The acharyas have analysed Krishna as having the full 100% qualities. Lord Vishnu manifests up to 90. What is it? 90. Prabhupada mentions it. How many percent is it? No. Krishna has 64 principal attributes. All the expansions or categories of the Lord possess only some percentages of these attributes. But Krishna is the possessor of 100% attributes. Lord Shiva, who is neither avatar nor avesh, possesses almost 84%. So I think it's Lord Vishnu has something like 96 or 93, or I can't remember exactly the percentage. Lord Shiva has up to 84%. Lord Brahma up to 78%. The living entities can only have 78% of the qualities of Krishna, the attributes. So Krishna manifests the full 100%, but the other incarnations of the Lord only manifest up to a certain percentage, but not the 100%.
Is he
100%
also?
Yep. Well, he can if he wants to. That's a trick. Because we think, oh, the deity doesn't move, he doesn't speak, he doesn't do things. So how can that be Krishna? Right? But also, we have to take into consideration here, it mentions not all of the incarnations manifest the full potencies. So the deity form of the Lord is a very special incarnation of the Lord who basically accepts our savour, our service. Very merciful manifestation of the Lord who accepts our offerings and our service and puts up with us, basically.
Non-different
from Krishna, exactly.
So we are actually sitting in front of Krishna.
Yes, we're sitting in front of Krishna.
As you mentioned, the incarnations are a specific purpose for the...
Yes. Krishna's purpose was to demonstrate the full 100% manifestation of all of his potencies. Paritranaya sadhana vinasaya chatuskritam dharma samstapanataya sambhavami yuge yuge. To protect the devotees, to exchange loving relationships between himself and the devotees. That's Krishna's prime purpose. And that exchange of loving affairs is fully manifest in Vrindavan, in Goloka. And so you see the exchanges between Krishna and his servants, Krishna and his friends, Krishna and his parents, Krishna and the gopis, his lovers. We see this whole range of exchanges between Krishna and the devotees. And the full manifestation of love for Krishna incorporated in the activities of the devotees in Vrindavan. So that's his purpose, is to reveal himself and reveal the love and affection and experience demonstrated by those pastimes in Vrindavan. Difficult to understand too, because here's the thing. Krishna appears and he looks just like an ordinary person. He behaves like an ordinary person. But what distinguishes Krishna from everybody else is the extraordinary characteristics that he displays. And the extraordinary manifestations of, you know, the loving affairs that he has with his devotees. His playing of his flute, for example. Krishna has four extra characteristics that no other manifestation has.
One more is Krishna never leaves his abode and he brings the replica of Vrindavan.
He never leaves
his abode.
Yeah.
And he brings the replica of Vrindavan.
Yeah, he brings the replica of Vrindavan. So this is it's a demonstration of the relationships of that Krishna experiences eternally in the spiritual realm. And you know, you see it in the pastimes with Indra and Brahma. They're not able to understand. Krishna mentions this in the Bhagavad Gita. You know, the demigods are not able to know me. And so even Lord Brahma can't fathom what's going on and wants to test Krishna. Indra wants to kill Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan. And they're the most elevated demigods. And they don't understand Krishna's apparently ordinary dealings. But, you know, when the time comes to, you know, demonstrate the power of God, the potency of Godhead, then he does it. He lifts Govardhan Hill, for example. Or he destroys Pakasura, Agasura, Putana, you know, there's a long list of Kamsa. When it's necessary, he manifests that power, if you like, that potency. But those characteristics we see in many of the incarnations. But the really loving, affectionate dealings that Krishna manifests with his friends in Vrindavan, you don't see that manifest in the other incarnations of the Lord. Very sweet. You know, Prabhupada, you know, mentions that these powerful manifestations of the Godhead are sort of like God in the office or God at work. But he's really attracted to the intimate loving dealings between him and his friends in Vrindavan, between him and Mother Yashoda. They're more attractive to Krishna and more pleasing, more intimate. In having a fight with somebody's not, I mean, it's an exchange, but it's not the most relishable. It's fun, it can be fun. But the more intimate, affectionate dealings, the more intimate is reserved for the residents of Vrindavan, and that's what attracts Krishna the most. that love and affection. You know, there's the example of the French kings. They would be in their court, where the courtesans were all singing their praises and offering their respects and paying their taxes and, you know, bowing down and being very respectful. But, you know, when they wanted to have some fun, they would go and live in the forest and live like simple, you know, shepherds. Live in a rural environment, atmosphere where, you know, people weren't always worshipping them and bowing down to them and treating them like they're, you know, gods. Prabhupada gives the example of Benjamin Disraeli, the Prime Minister of England, who his friend visited him, and he was told to wait. And you know, he's, you know, practically speaking, the most important, well, besides the King or the Queen, the most important personality in the British Empire, and. His friend was kept waiting for some time, and he's wondering what he was doing, why he was, you know, he thought he must be engaged in some very important business. And then he went and snuck and had a look in his office, and he saw that he was playing horsey for his grandson. He's saying, "Giddy up, Grandpa, come on." So this was, you know, this is what the most important man in Britain really liked doing, is playing with his grandson. So, you know, Krishna does the office. You know, Krishna in the office, kill a few demons, create the universe, do all this sort of stuff, which is a demonstration of his godly powers, if you like. But more pleasing for him is the loving, affectionate dealings, where he's, you know, where the devotees are actually telling him what to do. It's like, you know, the Prime Minister, usually he's telling everybody what to do, do this, do that, attack this place, defend this, tax this one, pardon that one. But what does he like to do? He just wants to play with his grandson. So Krishna just wants to play with his friends rather than, you know, be the boss of the universe. When you're the boss of the universe and everybody's coming to you, "My dear Lord, please give me this, please give me that, please give me the other thing," everybody just bothers you for things, right? But the residents of Vrindavan don't bother Krishna for anything. Their affection and love for Krishna is so great, they're not thinking, "Oh, you know, I'm a friend of Krishna so I can get this or get that or get the other thing." They just love him. And they're happy when Krishna's happy. And Krishna's happy when they're happy. So he's happy to do things for them, they're happy. It's an exchange. Kanapati.
Is everyone in the spiritual world that have that relationship?
Does everybody?
In the spiritual world that have that same intimate relationship with Krishna?
Not everybody, but because there are the primary rasas or relationships. There can be neutrality, wherein there's not an active relationship with Krishna. But then in Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhurya, in those relationships, then there's more intimacy and there's exchange, there's interaction and so forth. Which are the desirable or the what's the word? The attractive features of one's relationship with God is manifest in those more intimate exchanges. So does everybody have that? Well, no, not everybody. But, see, because each is satisfied in their relationship, there's no feeling of lack just because, "Oh, you're a gopi and I'm a, you know, tree or something in the spiritual world." Right? The relationship, whatever the relationship happens to be with Krishna, that's fully satisfying for the devotee because that's his natural position. You know what I mean? There's no lacking in that. It's just that there is a understanding of the different relationships in terms of their intimacy, and so they're classified as such. But each devotee in their relationship with Krishna, regardless of what it is satisfied with that relationship, and Krishna is satisfied with them, because that's their natural exchange of affection and love in those relationships. So the relationship is there, but there are different degrees of intimacy in those relationships, and the devotees are satisfied, whichever one it is, because it's Satchidananda. It's the spiritual world, basically. So you know Krishna is satisfied by the affection shown by the devotees, whatever their relationship is with him. Anything else? Mahatmaji.
And we were discussing yesterday Gunjan Prabhu in Mathura, how he is dealing with his devotees and demons for the Vashaman head instead of
Dobiwala. Headless. He's behaving like somebody without a head, without a brain anyway, so he got his head removed. Alright, Vandaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.